What's up, everybody? Welcome into a Monday edition of Texans All Access from the Hyundai Texans Radio Studio. John Harrison, Mark Vandermeer, got you going. Mark, how you doing?
Johnny, great. You know, I walked into the building today, and you know what I felt? Football vibes.
Yeah.
Because
1 week away.
Yes. It's 1 week away from the offseason conditioning program, which basically is, to the coaches and players, football season.
Mm-hmm.
They know what it means. That's when it starts up, the conditioning. And they were doing staff physicals today, getting everybody's health checked because they know it's a long haul ahead of them. They want to make sure everybody's healthy and good to go. It is cool. You can feel the vibe in the building that it's about to start up.
Yeah, vibes are good, but we got a lot to get caught up on, especially because the draft is 2 weeks from Thursday. Is that right? Yeah, my math is correct. So
wow.
Thursday, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, so 11, 2 weeks from that is the 25th. It is going to be a bang-up time. Remember, the draft party is going to be on Friday.
Yeah.
And that's going to be downtown, just near the George R. Brown. It's where we had the playoff watch party.
Yeah.
I believe that was downtown. So you won't miss it. Hopefully the weather will be good. We needed the weather to be good the last couple of years. The weather cooperated. And hopefully on April 25th, 26th, excuse me, Friday night, the weather will cooperate. April 23rd, that is 2 weeks from tomorrow, that will be the jersey unveiling.
Yeah.
Which is going to be, well, you know me. I'm curious just for the event itself. You know how I am with the jerseys. I just, okay, here they are. All right, great. Let's move on. That's me. That's me. That's not everybody else. That's not obviously what we're trying to do. Generate excitement about the event. That's cool. But I just want to get in those jerseys and win a championship. You know, there was a team back in the late 90s. They wore these god-awful orange jerseys and these light blue helmets, and they looked just kind of namby-pamby. And all of a sudden, they changed to these really cool-looking, kind of dark navy blue white jerseys. Like, man, those are kind of cool. Then they won two Super Bowls in a row, the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what happens here. Maybe that's the Texans changing to the uniforms, new uniforms, and win a couple championships in a row. That'd be kind of nice.
The Buccaneers, it wasn't Super Bowl right away, but they went to the pewter helmets and the red.
Right.
And a few years later, they started to win under Tony Dungy. But they got to the Super Bowl with, what's his name?
John Gruden.
Yeah. Are we still allowed to, can we talk about him? Or is he canceled? What's the deal?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm kind of interested about
that. He did well.
That.
He did well with Tony's players. And
yeah, he did.
You got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, he did very, very well. Ended up winning a championship. The Buccaneers had to trade a lot for him. It's amazing to look back and see what they traded. They traded a first rounder. I just have never been of a mind, and you know how I feel about coaches, to trade for a coach. I just have never, like, I don't know. Maybe
but it happens.
Maybe, yeah. But it has happened. Okay, here's what I want to do. As it sits today, and you always have to preface that before a Nick Caserio draft, as it sits today, the Texans have pick number 42 and pick number 59.
Yeah.
So we're going to do kind of a sort of gut reaction because we hear these draft picks on the fly, like as it's happening.
Yeah.
We have very little reaction time. Like we got to hear the name and then we've got to kind of pull all our thoughts together. And then, all right, here's what we're going to say. So we're going to practice that a little bit. So I'm going to announce the Texans pick at number 42. And then you're going to kind of react. I'll give you kind of a background on the guy.
Okay.
And then you're going to kind of react based on the position, maybe who the players. And I will give you the comp that I have come up with for these particular players so you can kind of have an idea of, all right, maybe that's the type of player that the Texans are adding. Okay?
Sure.
All right.
And thank you for giving the background, especially as we get deeper into the draft. Because my goodness.
Yeah. Now, this will just be for number 42. So these are going to be some of the names a couple of them you might go, wait a second, but I will help out
is
with the background.
Sweat in there?
I'm not saying.
Okay.
I am not saying.
Gotcha.
I am not saying at all. All right. Here we go at pick number 42. The Houston Texans select from Iowa State University cornerback TJ Tampa. Here are my quick notes on him. Prototype height, weight, speed. He's a press man cover guy. Love his transitional quickness out of a back pedal. Very, very quick feet. Innate understanding of route combinations and zone. Doesn't lose eye discipline. The player comp I've come up with, TJ Tampa, who is 6'1", 189. is the Saints cornerback Marshon Lattimore. Your gut reaction, Mark, to if the Texans made that selection.
So do you have to play Tampa 2 if you draft TJ Tampa?
Tampa picks
as
it off
the play-by-play man. I automatically go to things like this.
Yes,
what can
course.
I do with that name, TJ Tampa? I like the name.
Well, he's Tampa from St. Petersburg, Florida.
If he picks off a conversion pass attempt and runs it the other way, that's a Tampa
that's
for
a Tampa two.
That's a Tampa 2. I like it. So I want to see that happen. Now
nice.
I'm going to be very disappointed if they don't draft TJ Tampa.
Yeah, very nice. He actually is in my mock draft. He's the guy the Texans end up taking at number 42, TJ Tampa.
Well, I like the size. You know, I like a big corner. I think this is good. Obviously, with the players you have, if you drafted corner right there with Jeff Okuda, CJ Henderson, you have players that you could start ahead of him. But if you draft him at 42, is he an automatic starter? You know, we have to remember, even though that would be the first pick the Texans make in this particular draft, it's a second-round selection.
Correct.
You are not obligated to start anybody, but you're not assumed to start a second-rounder right off the bat. In fact, the good teams probably don't. But we'll see. If he wins the job over those other two, he certainly deserves it. And let's see what happens.
TJ Tampa's not the pick, so we go to the next selection. At number 42, the Houston Texans select defensive tackle Braden Fiske, Florida State. Now, how many Seminoles, since you have been with the organization, have the Texans ended up drafting?
Well, Travis comes to mind first.
Travis comes to mind.
I can't think of too many other ones. I'm sure they have.
Because I know that's got to burn you a little bit that it's a Seminole, not a Hurricane.
No, but listen,
okay with
that? Travis, I'm okay. And with the Hurricanes and Seminoles, we've talked about this.
There's
a sort of mutual admiration society. They're okay with it. They're okay with a little Hurricane. Look, Travis Johnson is really good friends with Andre Johnson.
Yeah, true.
And it's Canes and Seminoles living together. Well, they don't live together, but you know what I'm saying. It's an expression.
6'4" and 5'8", 292.
The party will go nuts. You draft Fiske, the draft party Friday night, Avenida, they're going to go crazy because they've heard the name potential guy to be tagged right there by the Houston Texans. They'll go crazy.
Now, I know the comp is not going to be a name that people are familiar with, but I know this guy, studied him a few years ago, and I think he's going to get more opportunity with the Eagles, and he got a little bit more of an opportunity last year. Milt Williams, he had a very similar athletic comp. The only thing with Fiske, here we go, short arms. When I was at the Senior Bowl, I was saying to my friend, your friend too, Lance Erline, I said, boy, Chris Ballard of the Colts is going to love Fiske because he's got all the athletic ability. He goes, nah, he's got short arms. So he's only got like 31-inch arms or something like that.
I mean, how short is this really, Johnny? Is this a big problem?
I don't think it's a problem.
Well, maybe to get caught around the edge. He's aerodynamically sound. He can whoop.
I love the way he plays. He plays so hard.
DT. But
he plays so hard, and he just gets – I think the fans would love him. And, of course, I guarantee you it's coming. There are going to be comparisons to J.J. Watt, and they play – They're similar in the fact that they're relentless, but they are completely different players. So just don't start
wait,
with that nonsense.
Wait, Fiske in a 3-4 is not an outside linebacker.
Correct. Right. He would play what J.J. played. He would have played inside.
But J.J. Okay, he would have played inside, but we saw J.J. on that edge all the freaking time.
I know, but
is Fiske going to go there in a 3-4?
No, I don't think so.
No, he'll always be inside.
Yeah, he'll always be inside.
All right.
He'll always be inside. But you know the comparison is coming, but this is one heck of an athlete. His athlete scores off the charts. He's tremendously strong. He's great inside. I think of all the players, if Fiske is the call at number 42, I've thought about this a lot, Mark. I don't want to say I've gone back on this, but I've been thinking about, you know, size and all this. And I thought, you know what? I just want somebody in the inside that can just wreck shop. And I feel like Fiske's one of those guys. He just doesn't stop. Here's the only knock against him. He transferred from Western Michigan, not Central Michigan.
Oh, he's part of the Big Brown. But he got out of there.
He got out of there. He was smart to get out of there. Now,
I'm glad you brought attention to the greatest rivalry in college sports history, Central Michigan, Western Michigan. Yeah, the Big Brown.
That's
what Herb Deromedy, the head coach of Central, used to call them.
The Big Brown.
In public, the Big Brown.
There's definitely a what can Big Brown do for you joke in there, but I'm going to save it. All right, we get back, I'm going to hit Mark with a few more players. At number 42, what would your reaction be? That's next on Texans All Access. What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to this Monday edition of Texans All Access, a national championship game edition of Texans All Access. We got it for you right here. I'm your host, John Harris, football analyst, sideline reporter, alongside Mark Vandermeer. We've kind of been going through what the reaction will be at number 42, if you drafted a player here, a player there. Well, now, Tampa and Fisky are off the board. We get the number 42. So now we're sitting there going, okay, Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans have sent the card in. Mm-hmm. At number 42, the Houston Texans have selected defensive tackle Tavondre Sweat from the University of Texas.
All right, so a lot of people are going to cheer. I'm just gauging reaction. Yes. This is what I do, Johnny.
I know.
It's going to be a big cheer, but you're going to hear some
right
in there because of what just happened to him over the weekend. And I heard Seth and Sean talking about it this morning, and I agree. Regardless of what the facts are, it just appears that this was not a good decision.
Thank you.
For him.
Correct.
And Sean talked about the draft is right there. It's 2 weeks away, 2.5. Just hold it together.
Right. That's probably the one thing to me that stood out more than anything else was that.
Yeah.
Was exactly that. You're about to be a millionaire, and you might give up some of that money because you decided to get in a car and drive.
Yeah.
Why? What in God's name compelled you to do that? Now, Dane Brugler reported that Sweat has had, you know, his party days at the University of Texas. I guess you could say who hasn't at the University of Texas.
Hey.
But you got to get past it. You got to get past it. And now you're sitting, I mean, the world is right in front of you. So, to me, Tavondre Sweat must be a Cowboys fan because this will ensure him going to the Dallas Cowboys.
Wait,
no questions asked.
The reason why I said A is people know that I'm no Longhorn defender. However, Vander Kidd is going to attend the University of Texas.
No, he's different.
McComb School of Business. He's in. And now I'm Longhorn Dad.
Yeah, you are Longhorn Dad.
I'm Longhorn
Dad.
That's
true. You do have to hook him. You do have to defend him. But
all my Texas friends are texting me hook him, and I'm thinking this feels weird.
Yeah,
it does because I've.
You know,
I'm a man of the people usually. You know? I mean, Red Raiders, Cougs.
Right, right.
You know,
and you also have to do this. Now I know that. You know, Texans fans have, you know.
Johnny's holding up the horns.
Yeah, I'm holding up the horns, kind of holding up the horns. But, yeah. You know, I can't do it.
Texans fans.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
First of all, Texans fans, it's backhand facing forward.
Right.
Longhorns, it's open fist facing forward.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's how you differentiate that. But it's taken me a long time to do H-Town.
I can't do it, though.
I'm afraid when I'm doing the H-Town thing on the fly, like, am I giving somebody the finger?
Right.
No, I'm not. I got him pinned. I'm good.
I'm with you.
I have to think about it before I do it. It's not automatic. And with the Longhorn thing,
it just pops
I'm happy my kid is going there. It's a terrific school, so I'll get into it.
Congratulations, by the way, on the air. Not to you, to your son.
Yeah, thanks.
That's fantastic for him. But now you have to be a Longhorn Dad. But, I mean, look, Tavondre Sweat, if the Texans end up taking him at 42, there's a couple of things that pop into mind. Number one, the Texans have gotten really, really comfortable with the person Tavondre Sweat, especially with now this happening. Like, okay, now you got to do a little bit more digging. Mm-hmm. And who's to say the Texans had – the flip side of that is who's to say the Texans had interest in him anyways? A lot of fans have been because, obviously, he went to the University of Texas. He was a high-profile player at the University of Texas. He's from Huntsville, so he's kind of considered the greater Houston area if you want to throw Huntsville in there. And he was extremely successful in 2023 at the University of Texas, a team that went to a college football playoff. But this situation over the weekend, it's at pick number 42. I can't do it.
Regardless of that,
I can't do it.
Let me ask you a couple of key questions. You're a draft evaluator, so I am going to ask you some questions in the way that I project D'Amico Ryans to think about certain things,
right.
Not everything. How's his motor?
When he's conditioned, first play of a drive, first couple plays of a drive, fine. But he gets lazy, and he gets sloppy because he's out of condition. I think, now he said, hey, I'm fine at 366 or whatever he weighs. I don't think he's fine. I think he starts to, when he gets tired, he stands up. He's easier to move at that point, as crazy as that sounds. I saw the Senior Bowl. First rep, senior bowl, he went Andrew Rame of Oklahoma. And I'm telling you, Mark, the sound was something I'll never forget. And it was a run game, just one-on-one, just base blocking, just go at it. Street fight. I used to call it street fight. That's what I would put on the practice plan. I would put street fight. And the guys all knew what that was. That was just one-on-one, run blocking, move a guy, yeah. Displace a guy, whichever side of the ball you were on. And that's what they were doing at the senior bowl. And the first rep, he takes Andrew Rame and just, whoo, I mean, just 3 yards in the backfield. I mean, just moves a 300-pound man like it's nothing. Well, the next rep, because it's the next rep, and now he's kind of sapped some of that energy with his first rep, Bo Limmer from Arkansas gets up underneath his pads and actually moves him a yard backwards. It's like, that shouldn't happen. Against a guy that large, that athletic as he is, that shouldn't happen, but that's what happens with his play. I think that's something that a lot of NFL teams, including the Texans, are going to say, you know what? If he's not willing to get down to 345 and be able to play like with Vince Wilfork, you know, a lot of people compare to Vince Wilfork. I saw an ESPN comp that comped him to Vince Wilfork. Man, Vince Wilfork could go all day.
Yeah.
Now, we saw him at the end of his career, but in the heart of his career, Vince Wilfork could go all day, everywhere on a field you want him to go. Completely in condition, he was just 350 pounds. But he was always ready to play. He was never out of shape.
Well, they were watching it. I was there when he was a freshman, right, at the University
Wilfork.
Of Miami. Wilfork, yeah. And I remember Don Bailey, my buddies who are big evaluators and also broadcasters, and Bailey played there. So they're watching him super close. Like, how's the big fella doing in the heat?
Right.
And he had great powers of example. Mm-hmm. And I guess he took to it, right? And it wasn't like he was ever accused of being lazy, but they were watching for it because they had high standards then. And I know they still have high standards now, but they were ridiculously high then.
Yeah.
So as you talk about sweat, I'm wondering, in the D'Amico lens that I'm wearing right now, does that fit? Or is he a first down player? Never mind first and second down. First down. Hey, put him in on first down.
Right.
All right, we got a stuff or a one-yard loss. Get out of there.
I mean, he might be the best first down, one down player there is, but you don't draft that player at 42, especially when he's had the issues. And if you missed it, Sweat was he had a DWI over the weekend in Austin. Those guys, you're not drafting Sweat. Tampa Fiske are off the board. You're sitting at number 42. At number 42, the Houston Texans select from the University of Michigan wide receiver Roman Wilson.
Ooh, that's going to get a lot of ooh.
For what reason? In a good way? In a I-didn't-see-that-coming way? In an interesting way?
Because he's not one of the biggest names on the board, but we are in the second round. So
but the position.
Well, yeah, position too, because you just acquired Stephon Diggs, but everybody knows it's a one-year deal.
Right.
There are two things afoot here. It's conceivable. I'll just say it, and I'm sure other people have. A year from now, you could be without Nico Collins and without Diggs.
Correct. That's correct.
You have to live in that world.
That's correct.
So drafting a receiver, I don't think, is out of the question at all.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the second, third round.
I'm with you.
Let's go for somebody who can develop, who's really got a high ceiling, but a low, high floor. Not a low floor. A high floor. And somebody who can help us not necessarily go guns blazing this year.
Right.
But next year, what if we can't re-sign Nico for whatever reason? I know you can franchise him, but look, you don't franchise somebody, in my opinion, unless you really have full intent to sign him to work something out. And then you look at Stephon Diggs. If he's gone, if you don't have Nico or Diggs going into next offseason.
You just brought everybody down. There are people driving in their cars, almost drove off the road hearing you say that.
Everybody talked about Diggs, but they assume Nico's an automatic to be here, and there's nothing automatic.
No, I'm with you.
So you've got to figure that out.
That's
why I will not be shocked if they draft a wide receiver relatively early.
Okay, two things about Wilson. Number one, here's my comp for him. You may have heard of him before. Will Fuller V.
He's that quick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
He could fly.
What about route running?
Very good. And here's the second thing.
Yeah.
Guess who his first wide receivers coach was at the University of Michigan? The wide receivers coach here, Ben McDaniels.
Ben McDaniels.
Yeah, So there's at least some knowledge there, but Will Fuller is the comp that I came up with. Now, he said, Roman Wilson said when he was at the Senior Bowl, his comp for himself, somebody asked about this, was Tyler Lockett. From the Seattle Seahawks. more kind of a match of size, about 5'10 and a half, 185, 190, something
like
that.
I love Tyler Lockett, and I wanted the Texans to draft Tyler Lockett.
Same.
I was all over that. I was on the record with that. I thought it was going to be a great pick, and obviously it worked out very well for the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay, let's change the pick. Wilson's still on the board.
Okay.
But you decide, nope. But you're sticking to the same position at number 42. The Houston Texans select wide receiver Ladd McConkey from Georgia.
Ooh. Oh, people go nuts.
They'll lose their minds.
Because it's a huge name. It's Georgia. Everybody's watched this guy play a ton. Georgia's on TV. More than Leave It to Beaver. Who said that about Duke basketball? That was Pete Gillen, I think, said that about Duke basketball once upon a time. So they all know Ladd McConkey.
6 foot, 186. 4.39 and a 40. 36-inch vertical at a sub-4-second short shuttle, a 6.723 cone. My comp for him, ironically, is Tyler Lockett. I think he's a little faster than Lockett. I think Lockett was in the 4.4s. 4.39. And when you see him, you'll be surprised if you've never seen Ladd McConkey up close. I've seen him play a ton of times. I've seen him up close to the Senior Bowl.
He cooked everybody at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah. Cooked everybody.
Okay.
Everybody at the Senior Bowl. I mean,
he's lasting that long? He's going to 42?
That's the thing. I don't know if he gets to 42. That's the only caveat there. I don't know if he gets to 42. Gets to 42, you might start checking to see whether he had a Tavondre Sweat DWI or something like that. I don't see it. He was just on NFL Network. He was on Kay Adams' show. I don't know. His agent had him doing the rounds, kind of doing a car wash the other day, kind of get his name out there, I guess. Doesn't need it. I think everybody knows how good this guy is. But there are so many wide receivers. McConkey might end up being the sixth or seventh wide receiver in this entire group. But my goodness, explosive athlete. Okay, we'll save a few more for next week as we get ready for the draft in less than 2 weeks or thereabouts. Big thanks to Mark, all of you for listening. We'll see you next time. And as always, go Texans.